1500 and 2000 UTC.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Cameroon and the Confederation of African Football are investigating a deadly stampede Monday night at a stadium in the capital, Yaoundé. The stampede of fans trying to enter the Alembe Stadium to watch the Nations Cup quarterfinal between Cameroon and Comoros overpowered hundreds of police and left at least 8 people dead and 38 injured. Moki Edwin Kinzaka reports from Yaoundé.
A nurse tells scores of people crowded into the Misasi Hospital reception to ask about injured friends and relatives to be calm and socially distanced. He says the hospital in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé, is still attending to 7 casualties of Monday evening's stampede at the Olembe Football Stadium. Among those looking for missing relatives is 27-year-old merchant Prosper Chindo, who lost track of his uncle and 2 children after they went to the stadium.
I have visited at least 7 hospitals this morning and I still cannot find them. I have asked the police if they have an idea of where my uncle and children can be, but the police has been of no help. I am confused. I do not know what to do next.
The stampede occurred when fans wanting to watch an Africa Football Cup of Nations or AFCON match between Cameroon and Comoros forced their way into the stadium, pushing past hundreds of police. Cameroonian authorities say 6 people died on the spot, while 2 others died on the way to the hospital. A government spokesman in a statement said 7 of the 38 injured football fans were in critical condition at Yaoundé's Central Hospital. Cameroon's public health minister visited the injured at the hospitals and said President Paul Biya has ordered victims to be treated free of charge. Cameroon national football team player Fai Collins, who was playing at the Monday evening match, says they are saddened by the loss of life.
I hope the authorities will take the various measures they need to take next time it doesn't happen again. Our condolences to the families that have lost. It's really sad. It's really, really sad.
President Biya and the Confederation of African Football have ordered separate investigations to determine the cause of the stampede. The stadium was authorized to have a maximum of 40,000 people, but authorities say there were an estimated 57,000 at yesterday's match. Last week, Cameroonian authorities said spectator turnout in stadiums was low due to the pandemic and regulations requiring proof of vaccination and a negative COVID-19 test results. To help fill the stadiums, Cameroon launched a campaign for fans to be tested and vaccinated, with several thousand getting the jab to watch AFCON, Africa's top football tournament. But Cameroon's Ministry of Sports and Physical Education says thousands more who refused the vaccine have been jumping fences and forcing their way into stadiums. Cameroon is hosting the Africa Football Cup of Nations tournament despite the ongoing pandemic and threats from separatists to disrupt the games. The AFCON Championship started on January 9 and will end on February 6. Moki Edwin Kinzaka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. For more on the deadly stadium stampede, we're joined now by Samson Omale in Cameroon. Sporty Nations Cup greetings, Samson.
Sporty Nations Cup greetings to you, Sonny. We begin on a rather sad note from Yaoundé, Cameroon, where 8 people have been confirmed dead and over 50 injured in a crush outside the Olympe Football Stadium on Monday ahead of the host nation march against the Comoros. Crowds attempted to enter through a southern entrance at Olympe Stadium in the capital Yaoundé to watch the host nation play Comoros. Although the stadium's capacity of 60,000 has been limited over coronavirus fears, the 60% cap is raised to 80% when Cameroon's Indomitable Lions play. Patrice Motsepe, president of the Confederation of African Football, on Tuesday afternoon said there were clear deficiencies and failures on the part of the local organizing committee, but assured that CAF will take steps to prevent such stampede from occurring in the future.
Clearly there were deficiencies. Clearly there were failures. There were weaknesses. There were things you can't. There are things that we should have that should have been foreseen, man. Come on. You take preventative measures. You take steps that anticipate that if certain things happens, those interventions will ameliorate or preferably bring to an end circumstances that can give rise to injuries, let alone loss of life. The way the legal arrangements stand now is that the security is the responsibility of the local organizing committee. It is not the responsibility of CAF. CAF's responsibility is to advise. This is what the legal arrangements entail. And that's why I was saying that, you know, whenever I talk to everybody, the starting point is, but, you know, CAF has no legal obligations. It's not CAF's responsibility.
As a result of the stampede on Monday, CAF has also said some marches will be moved. Samson Ademu is CAF Director of Competitions.
So the proposal is for the match number 47 that was supposed to be played in Olympe to be moved to Amadou Ahidjo, and match number 48 will be moved to Limbe. So the match number 47 is the winner of match number 43, which is between the winner of Cote d'Ivoire and Egypt. And the second team is the match that will be played today here in Amadou Ahidjo.
Back on the field of play, host Cameroon booked their place in the quarterfinals of the African Cup of Nations Cameroon 2021, following a hard-fought 2-1 win over 10-man Comoros at the Olympic Stadium on Monday night. Kyle Toko Akambi gave the Indomitable Lions lead just before the half-hour mark with a neat finish inside the area. Captain Vincent Abubakar doubled their advantage 20 minutes from time before Comoros captain Yusuf M. Chagama pulled a goal back from free kick. In the earlier game, Moussa Barrow scored a 71st-minute winner as Gambia continued their impressive form at the African Cup of Nations by pulling off an upset 1-0 win over Guinea in Bofusam on Monday to advance to the quarterfinals. Gambian fans in Cameroon could not hide their joy.
When we were coming here, we were the underdog. Nobody paid attention to us. And we made history from qualifying to the round of 16. In fact, from our first match, we made history.
Gambia's coach Tom Sinfield and Moussa Barrow speak of their qualification for the quarterfinals.
We had some opportunities in the first half. Only the last 5 minutes, Guinea was really dangerous. And I'm very proud that we can achieve that best eight of Africa in the first time that we are here. It's amazing.
It's not luck. It's determination. It's fight. It's given everything on the pitch, and everyone is throwing himself in front of the ball to keep the clean sheet, and yeah, I'm just happy to be part of that team.
The small West African country are the lowest ranked of all the 24 participants at the tournament in Cameroon at 150 in the world and are making their debut at the finals. They will play host Cameroon in the quarters. To discuss Day 16 action with me, I have two journalists covering the competition, Kenny Ogumiloro of Fresh FM and Adebayo Ademiton, a football writer with the online publication Football Galore. Gentlemen, let's look at what happened yesterday, beginning with the stampede. Quite an unfortunate incident, and we hear that 8 persons have been killed so far as a result of that. I mean, what do you make of it? Is it going to cast a shadow on the 2021 African Cup of Nations?
I've been here for a couple of days right now. This is my 3rd week for the African Cup of Nations. I've seen how the Cameroonians love their country when it comes to football. Every time they get to play, we see how the fans are always excited. And I think what happened yesterday was very unfortunate. I understand there was so much love for this country. They wanted to see their team in action. Some of them could not afford the tickets. They just wanted to be at the stadium to support their national team. But I think it's very unfortunate the way the whole thing ended. 8 people died, may their souls rest in piece. Moving forward, I like the reaction of CAF. They want to investigate. It is very important. When something tragic like that happened, you need to find out how did it happen? How can you prevent this in future occurrences?
I would say dark day for African football yesterday. 8 people died, 4 men in their 30s, 1 child. CAF regulation says that 60% for those coming from outside, that is in terms of spectatorship, and then 80% for games that involve the home team. That place was overcrowded yesterday. I feel the local organizing committee, they didn't really do well as regards ensuring that the protocols, the restrictions, all the things should be put in place. But bad day for Africa, I think Mushepe should do something about it.
Let's look at the games that were played yesterday. We had the host nation, the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon, versus the Comoros Island. A lot of people didn't give it to the Comoros, but they went in yesterday and they really, really gave Cameroon a big fight. What do you make of that game?
For everyone that saw football from a neutral angle, they were really proud of the Comoros team. And
what about Gambia and Guinea? I mean, the Gambia continued their very impressive run, you know, in this tournament. Nobody gave them a chance. They're debutant, and here they are in the quarterfinals.
Well, it's been an amazing year for them, amazing tournament for them, a country making a debut in the history of the African Cup of Nations. Like my colleague rightly said, they've got a very experienced manager. That's talking about Tom Senfield. When we talk about managers in African football, he's one of the widely traveled coaches out here. He's been in charge of a couple of other African countries. He knows African football very well. The Gambia Football Federation, when they appointed him in 2018, I knew they needed something very serious. I knew they wanted to build something very nice, and we're seeing the products of their patience. Since 2018, Tom Seldfield ensured they qualify for the AFCON for the first time. And look at their progress. Look at the progress this team has made. Before coming into this AFCON, they had a training camp taking Qatar, and they had everything going well for them. Before they came here, the president, Adama Barrow, hosted them, telling them, go out and make this country proud, and exactly what we've seen. It's been an amazing year for the Gambia, just like the Comoros as well. Quarterfinal stage for them, very close to the title. Can they go all the way? I think it's still one step at a time for them. Gambia, if you want to underrate them, you need to take twice. They've been the giant killers this season. I mean, these are AFCON tournaments. And when you get to this stage of this tournament, making your debut, the confidence will continue to grow.
Let's look at Tuesday games. We got, in the early kickoff, Senegal versus Cape Verde. And then, of course, the late kickoff will involve Morocco against Malawi. What do you make of those two fixtures today? Who do you see going through to the quarterfinals from the two matches slated for today?
For the Teranga Lions, they will be facing a tricky Cape Verde team. You know, if you look at Cape Verde during the second phase of the World Cup qualifiers, they took Super Eagles all the way, and they came to Lagos, and you know, they gave us a good game. And what they've done so far here in Cameroon, I'm not really surprised. The likes of Barry Rodriguez, who plays for Olympiacos in Greece, he was on the books of Fenerbahce in the past. They also have their enigmatic captain Real Mendes, who caught his stint in Lille Metropole in the past. He currently plays for Al Nassr in Saudi Arabia, and they have a good coach, Bobista, who has managed a couple of teams in Portugal. So they have experience on their part, and they certainly know how to toss the ball around. And you know, in African football, if you can toss the ball around and use a bit of the technique, you would go through. As for Malawi Morocco, it should be a straight run. I tip the likes of Amala, Nasiri, Munir, El Kabi to roll over the flames of Malawi today.
Well, like Adebayo said, tricky tie for the Senegalese. But then, the progress of Comoros, yes, they were halted yesterday. The progress of Gambia, what we saw all these small countries do to the big nations this season is a lot of inspiration to all these small countries. Cape Verde inside their heart will be telling themselves, if Comoros can beat Ghana, who says we cannot beat Senegal? If Comoros can play the way they played yesterday, despite playing with 10 men and with 3 goalkeepers, I mean, testing positive for COVID-19, and they had a decent game yesterday against Cameroon, what says they cannot beat Senegal? But the fact is this, I think Cape Verde will prove too difficult We saw how they played against Nigeria in the World Cup qualifier. They came to Lagos to go to draw. We beat them, caught silver, two mistakes right there in their own backyard. KV, a very strong emerging side in African football right now. Tricky tie against Senegal. It's going to be a very close game today. And talking about the late kickoff, Morocco versus the Flames of Malawi. Morocco tipping them to go all the way. One of my contenders for this title. Decent squad. They are not conceding so much. Very tactical. They've got a very experienced manager. I think Morocco versus Flames of Malawi tonight. I don't want to sound like a prophet, but I think the end of the road has come for the Flames of Malawi. It is Morocco at last Lions all the way, roaring into the quarterfinal tonight.
Rolling into the quarterfinals, and that is Kenny Ogumiloro and, of course, Adebayo Ademito, journalists covering the 2021 AFCON here in Cameroon. It's back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale reporting from Cameroon. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sonny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
African football analyst Emmanuel Okara is among those expressing sadness over the deadly stadium stampede in Cameroon.
Let me start by extending my condolences to the government and people of Cameroon over the loss of lives following the stampede that took place before Cameroon took on the Comoros. My heart goes to them.
In Nations Cup results Monday, Gambia beat Guinea 1-0, and host Cameroon defeated Comoros 2-1. Gambia and Cameroon will now meet in a Nations Cup quarterfinal on Saturday, January 29th, in Douala, Cameroon. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, African football analyst Emmanuel Okara praised AFCON debutante Gambia.
For a team that is participating in the AFCON for the first time ever, the Scorpions of Gambia have done remarkably well. They have surpassed the expectations of critics who wondered why CAF expanded the tournament to 24. The tournament so far has been one of revelations, upsets, and beautiful football. And the Tom Sunfit coached Scorpions of Gambia have surpassed the expectations of football critics and so on. Their 1-0 victory against a supposedly illustrious Guinean side was one that took everybody by surprise. Unfortunately for the Guineans, their influential captain, Naby Keita, was suspended and as such could not play. If he had played, maybe he would have exerted his influence, his experience and tactical nous on the game. Once again, I congratulate the Gambians, and the way it is, the best is yet to come from them in their upcoming match against the indomitable Lions of Cameroon.
Host Cameroon defeated Comoros Islands by a lone goal in the second round of 16 game. What's your take on the performance of the indomitable Lions so far?
Cameroon were taken the full distance by the Comoros, who, I would say, were very courageous and heroic in the sense that their team was afflicted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Not only that, their keeper was not in contention to play. A left back had to be converted, and he, you know, gave a good account of himself. Ordinarily, you would have expected the Lions of Cameroon to tear their opponents to shred, but the Comoro Island players, who even played one man short, gave a good account of themselves, stretched the Cameroonians. The only difference was that Karl Ekambi and Vincent Aboubakar's goal were just the difference. Even the Comora Island people, they scored too. A wonderful free kick at that. The Lions, well, they've done very well, I would say, as the host. And I just believe they are getting better with each match, considering the way they started the tournament. So their match against Gambia would be a cracker.
Emma, Cameroon will play Gambia in the quarterfinal of AFCON on Saturday. What are your thoughts on the game?
Now, the match between Cameroon and Gambia is kind of reminiscent of Croatia. Croatia played for the very first time in the World Cup in the 1998 World Cup hosted by France. And they went all the way and met France in the semifinals. And the French fought tooth and nail. After Davor Suka had scored, he took two goals from Lilian Thuram, a defender, after all the attackers could not score before France overcame Croatia. And the way the Gambians are going, with their confidence going up and so on, they will surely give the Cameroonians. And if care is not taken, I mean, there might be an upset. But we'll just keep our fingers crossed and see how things will go when we get to that bridge.
That's African football analyst Emmanuel Okara. And Emmanuel spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Now let's go to South Sudan, which recently held a Peace Olympics to help reconcile communities divided by conflict. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Sheila Pony reports from Twitch County in South Sudan.
A spiritual leader blesses athletes to protect them from injury, while a goat represents the belief that power comes from nature. This is not the Winter Olympics in Beijing. It's the Twitch Olympics in northern South Sudan. The annual 2 weeks of games in January attracts athletes from six communities to compete in traditional Olympic and team sports. The aim, to reduce communal conflict. Volleyball player Ring Agwekring knows the violence firsthand. In May, they came to raid our cattle, and in the process of protecting them, he says, Agwekring was shot, but he succeeded in getting his cows back. He says he is in the games as an injured person, but can still play because he thinks the game is a unifying factor that promotes peace among ourselves and the community. Organizers say more than 700 young men and women participated in this year's games. One participant, Susan Achol, talks about the importance of the event and the impact sports can have on their communities.
We can just all be together, so at least we can't think of war, or we can't say that guy is from another clan or something like that. We just cooperate and we play as one team.
Against the sound of appreciative fans and competition, Twitch Olympics founder Achuel Bangol explains the mission of the games and the organization he founded more than 20 years ago.
The Twitch Olympic Association is not a program. It is identity. It has its mission, and its mission is going to be a sport for peace and giving chance to children to grow. Peace does not come without agenda. You cannot tell people to remain peaceful without them being active on something that is keeping them away from bad activities. You're building another avenue of communicating and interacting with youth.
South Sudan enters its 11th year of independence, challenged on many levels. Chola Jing, Secretary General of the Twitch Olympic Association, says it is clear that sports cut across barriers that divide communities. He says it allows the youth to become better citizens in the country they have inherited.
You know, like in South Sudan,
the crisis of 2013 and 16 was fueled up because the young people responded. And what about if young people get engaged in activities like this and do not think about joining the politicians and fuel the war? Because we're being misused by the politicians. So they use us to fight for their own interests, and when they get what they want, they go back and forget about us. But we can call this our own. We can also attract them to come so that we move this nation forward.
The South Sudanese athletes prefer tug of war and are urging those still fighting real battles to drop their weapons. Angelo Goleng Garang, a former football player, is one of them.
Once you are participating in the games, I will come to know you, and you will also come to know me. That enmity that exists between us will erase.
He urged others to join in the glory of sport. Sheila Aponi for VOA News, Twitch Mayardit, South Sudan.
Thanks, Sheila.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Now let's go to Ghana, where a local football club is helping protect endangered sea turtles. Sananu Tord reports from Gamoa Feta, Ghana.
We can identify a leatherback by counting the leopard's scales.
Empty sea turtle shells are commonly found on the beach along Ghana's coastal Gamoa Feta community. The World Wildlife Fund says 6 out of 7 species of sea turtles are endangered. Peter Kusana of Environmental Justice Foundation says 5 of those species used to nest in Ghana, but the numbers have reduced.
Over the years, we are only now recording about 4 or 3 of these species nesting in Ghana, meaning that we have already lost 2 of these turtle species in Ghana.
Fishermen here say about 50 turtles are killed every year along the 8-kilometer shoreline, drowned in fishing nets or poached for their meat and eggs. Ama Akofa is a turtle processor and explains why the locals poach turtles. She says the meat is a delicacy. She makes stew with the turtle's entrails and sells the remaining meat. Saving the remaining turtles is a team effort. The Feta Youngsters Football Club since 2019 has taken it upon themselves to protect the turtles. The team's coach, Daniel Kwesibotre, says they leverage the community's support for the team to help save the endangered sea turtles.
There has been the need for us to educate the community about it. And since the football team is for the community, because I always say Feta Youngsters is a community-based team. It's for the community. And the chief of the town, he is a life patron of the club. So everyone in the community supports Feta Youngsters. So we've taken this as a means or as a tool to educate the community.
During nesting season, the football team patrols the beaches from dusk until dawn to ward off poachers and other predators that would harm nesting turtles or their eggs. The players also engage the turtle meat sellers and fishing community to educate them on the importance of protecting marine life. Peter Kusana of Ghana's Environmental Justice Foundation says their efforts are paying off. He explains that turtle poaching reduced from 47 killed in 2019-2020 nesting season to 26 in the last one, while more nests have been found along the coast.
The number of nesting events recorded, meaning that the data points that have been captured by our patrollers has increased. In 2019-2020, we had around 50 cases that were recorded in our data sheets. In 2020-2021, we have over 145.
They are numbers that the Feta Youngsters Football Club is proud of, but eliminating the demand for the endangered sea turtles, that's their top goal, and one they are playing over time to score. Sena Anutod for VOA News, Gomoa Feta, Ghana.
Thanks, Sananu. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Feta Youngsters Football Club in Ghana, helping protect endangered sea turtles. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the January 25th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington.
I get it.
And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.